giving to God generously. And that is really the focus. There is a wonderful passage here we're going to look at in 2 Chronicles about Hezekiah, good King Hezekiah, calling his people to bring in the tithes and offerings for the worship of the Lord. But in this thinking about this, we want to have the focus be on the tithes and offerings, but we want to move beyond that to understand what it means to have them. There is the support of God's ministry and God's mission to the world. That is why he wants them to come and support and sustain this ministry. In the Old Testament, it was given so that they was given at the sanctuary of the Lord. That's where they gathered it together. And in this case, it's the tabernacle. They traveled with the tabernacle for quite a long time before the temple was built. And then they would bring their offerings to the temple. And it would support and sustain the ministry of the Lord. Now, even knowing that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to learn something about his impact on all of this. The tithes and offerings are an honoring of God through giving. An honoring of God through giving. But in Jesus Christ, there's a fulfillment of the law. He fulfills it and he surpasses it and goes beyond it. So this is really important to remember when setting ourselves up on this concept. God's claim on us remains at the minimum the first tenth of anything we earn or possess. It ought to belong to him. Because God gives first. God gave first through his son Jesus Christ. We give because of this fantastic gift of the Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We're always giving in the light of that great and amazing gift, which we celebrate here in the communion set here on the table. But even so, the Lord's call on our lives and on being good stewards of our finances and possessions is to be generous and life-giving. I love this slide because it says financial stewardship is the managing of our master's money. Our master's money. So it really is his first and foremost. And when we know and understand how generous God is to us, we are a generous people in response to him. And so our generosity and our giving needs to be life-giving and generous. Providing for the service to the Lord by all those who are called to serve him. We serve the Lord with gladness, and we recognize, and it shall be given unto you as you give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's the promise here in Luke 6:38. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful that we can understand the great principle of generosity in the scriptures, in your revelation in Jesus Christ. So generous you were to give your only begotten Son. And we are thankful, Lord, that by his gift of his life, we have new life in Christ. May you help us to perceive and understand how generosity is something that can grow as an ever-flowing stream in our lives. Lord, there are many ways in which we worry and which we have anxiety around this matter of possession and finances and things. Well, we pray that you may give us always great faith that overcomes that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in 2 Chronicles 31, 2-8, we read, Hezekiah assigned the priests and Levites to divisions. They're the priests, the ones who are serving the ministry of the Lord. Each of them according to their duties as priests or Levites, to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to minister and give thanks and sing praises to at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. They're not only giving, not only sacrificing, they are giving thanks and singing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. Which is what part of the reason we find music ministry so energizing to our faith, so important and fundamental to our faith. The king, verse 3, contributed from his own possessions for the morning and evening burnt offerings and for the burnt offerings on the Sabbaths, at the new moons, and at the appointed festivals, as written in the law of the Lord. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, olive oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks, and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord their God, and they piled them in heaps. They began doing this in the third month and finished in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw the heaps, they praised the Lord and blessed his people Israel. The word heaps, I didn't go real deeply into it, but I just understood it was an abundance. As I was trying to think about that this morning, I thought, well, there's an illustration of it. When I was involved in an ice storm in Montreal, Canada, we lost all power, and people would use wood in their fireplaces to heat their homes. Well, the Mennonites of Canada got their chainsaws out and started cutting down trees and started cutting up firewood. And they brought that in big truckloads, and there began to be big heaps of firewood. Heaps of firewood that people could come and get for free. And they used that to burn in their homes and get heat. That's an image of heaps. It's often hard to get a picture unless you're watching a grain going into a train car. Because I know I lived in Michigan. There were a lot of farms. And all of the silos, blue silos, they were brand new. There's where all the grain is kept, so you don't see the heaps of the harvest. But in this case, it's very visual, but it's an abundance. That's the important thing. And this experience of Israel under King Hezekiah is the simple fulfillment of the basic command of the Lord placed on the people from the time they received the Ten Commandments from Moses at the mountain of the Lord. They were to bring their tithes and offerings and show gratitude to the Lord for all he was giving to them. And the entire point of the tithe is to ensure that there was there for them this service in the temple. And they wanted that to be a place in which they could worship and celebrate the Lord and know him and come close to him. And the same thing is, we give here so that this may be here for us. That I could be here, a pastor, giving you a message, and be with you, the people of God, and encourage and hope that we are life-giving in what we do together. And we do our ministry here in this place, and we ensure that there's life in the church. We want life to be vibrant and good and giving support and strength to you in your mission for the Lord in the world, in Guam, in whatever field you work in whatever area you're specialized in. And we want to be sure that there is a good and vibrant celebrating of the Lord's Supper, that this happens whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is part of what our giving is for. And we ensure that there is baptism, that we receive people into the family of God through baptism. And this faithfulness is part of ministry, and it is fundamental to it. And we want to ensure that we are continually, as a people of God, learning from this good book. And there's time set aside for a pastor. And, you know, one of the things that happened when I wanted to go to seminary is the churches that I came from, my classes, area churches in New York State and the east of the country, gave money to me to study and go to seminary and specialize in the Word of God, study the Greek of the New Testament, the Hebrew of the Old Testament, both hard languages to learn, but there was a vibrant, thriving ministry, and learn all the various disciplines of ministry and come out able to lead God's people well. So that is what we're giving for. the people of Israel expected their Levitical priests to give them leadership in a sincere and authentic faith, which made people know how awesome God is. As you think about that, the Psalms declare the awesomeness of God. They praised God and gave thanks to Him. And the priests were to lead them in that. That's why they gave them, they were set aside to help sustain the ministry of the Lord and show the people that God is rich in mercy. And they were also to take care of the sacrificial system. Here's a small illustration of it. It said a bull was set aside for sins. The priest gave or sacrificed for their sins a bull, a large animal, very expensive. Nobody likes to sacrifice up a bull because a bull begets more cows. It's part of thriving in farming. But this sacrifice is important to illustrate that people were sorry for their sins and they wanted to repent of them. And then a ruler of a clan or a group, a family, might bring a male goat. And then if you were lesser provisioned, you had less, you gave a female animal, or you gave birds or doves, or even some offerings of flour. All given so that people could be accountable to God for their grievous sins and for their minor sins, for all their sins that they know they were committing to the Lord. This is what was set aside. And the thing that happens, and really you realize when you read through the Old Testament, is does this sacrificial system work? Well, it doesn't. Because the prophets say to Israel, you're offering up thousands of sacrifices at the temple, but your hearts aren't changing. Your conscience isn't convicted. It doesn't instill a good conscience as it's supposed to, because they're fallible people. As we see from David and through most of the kings and the people they governed, they were steeped in the sins of the world. So their tithes and offerings and their sacrificial system were to help them worship through giving, to set God as first in their lives, and to realize that they are a sinful people. The day of Yom Kippur was just observed by the Jewish people who are devout in their faith, and it is the day of repentance, and in their faith, they can cast away their sins by throwing papers onto the waters. Waters carry them away. And it's symbolic. In our system, as a Christian, we don't do that. We have repentance woven through our whole lives. We have a confession time. We come to the Lord and acknowledge His help for us and our need to receive that help in our time of confession. And we want to do this really morning and night through our whole faith life, because the Lord needs to help us and support us. And but the reminder is that God is the first in our lives, and we're to offer up unto Him. And thankfully for us Christians, we are thankful for the great sacrifice that ended all sacrifices, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we remember as we come to the table. And here in 2 Chronicles, we read about King Hezekiah, and he is a good king. He is helping to reestablish proper worship. And it's kind of like what John Calvin was doing in Geneva. He was, in the Reformation time in the 1500s, establishing proper worship that focuses on the Evangelion, which is a Greek word saying, talking about the good news that Jesus is our Christ, and put the emphasis on being shaped and molded by this word. This word in Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he said we needed to be shaped and molded by this word. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so we are free. We are not under the power of the law, we are under the power of grace. But what needed to be broken was a culture and tradition of the medieval church for John Calvin, which was too often bogged down in power politics and money. And that is a sin, a problem we have in our world today. We need to always remember that. Put God first. Because God loves to bless richly. But he wants us to be dependent on him. Hezekiah sees dramatic and generous giving by the people. He looks at them and they are bringing heaps. Their tithes are generous. And his officials come and see the heaps of the giving, the result, and they praise the Lord. And they bless his people Israel because they are doing the right thing. He is full of joy because they are showing their generosity. And he praises the Lord because they're bringing the tithes, the first fruits. He knows that God is being honored by the sacrificial and generous giving of God's people. And he is glad. He is very, very glad. They were doing it right. Ever since God began to teach his people about giving, it was to give your first fruits, to give the best of what you have for God. Because all that remains is the 90%. If you give 10% to God, 90% remains. Is that not enough for you to fill your cup to overflowing? Of course it is. Of course it is. And that's the answer. The Lord is asking for a small portion just so that we will have plenty. And sometimes we may not be in a place of plenty, and God understands that too. But then I want to do a little bit of transition here, because here's an agricultural people giving of their fields of grain, giving of their vineyards, giving olive oil and honey from their beehives and all other kinds of produce. Their giving was a profound act of faith and of putting God first. This land of Guam is the Lord's, and we are here at his pleasure. We are here, the pleasure of the Lord. But how does it get translated into the things we do? How do we understand our harvests? Well, a teacher teaches. How does that get given to the Lord? Well, you give of the provision that's provided. An engineer's work, how is that given to the Lord? The produce of a store, how's that given to the Lord? The results of your studying, your work in the service industry, etc., etc., how's it giving to the Lord? How does that come into play? Well, what you have to remember is that God is giving and providing for you generously. And there is a simple practice that will bless your life both now and in the years to come. Make a pledge to give to the Lord, to give regularly, to give steadfastly. Give in faith and trust. This is where we are, here in our lives. Ask him to help us with faith to trust the Lord for the whole thing. Ultimately, yes, there is a standard of giving, which is 10%. 10% from your gross, before taxes or anything else. I had someone asking me that. How do you understand the tithe? I said, well, the tithe is very simple. 10% of the gross before anything else really belongs to the Lord. How that's given is entirely in your own decision to make. How much of that goes to a church, how much it goes to special missionary needs, how much of that goes to benevolence, helping those in special needs because they don't have enough funds to meet their rent needs or their in some kind of a crisis, lost a job. You are the one in governing that. Because you're saying to the Lord, this is pledged to you, O my Lord. This belongs to you, and you help me direct how that's to go. We are giving in this way because we are Christians, and Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law, and you're not under obligation for the tithe. It is gone. It's a standard. But you're not under obligation. You will not be condemned if you're not able to give that amount. But what is before... What before was an obligation for the Old Testament people to train them and keep them close to God, now we have the Lord Jesus Christ who has been given. He is the best. And the Holy Spirit leads us to give ourselves as the best offering God can receive. This thing of giving money, resources, time, and gifts really means giving your life in ministry and service. Giving is worship. Giving back to the one who first gave is an honoring of him. You just do the right thing now because God has given his very life to you and to the world. And now the world must give its life back to God so that his glory can be known on the planet Earth throughout the world, wherever the waters cover the sea. Be generous to God and be generous in your giving. This is God's grace at work in you. Therefore, in Romans 12, verse 1, remember Paul's words, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And if we're giving ourselves to the Lord, then we're giving everything else to him as well. But he allows us to have our own judgment in that, as I was saying, to be able to honor him in the way. It's between ourselves and God. In one sense, Jesus is saying, when you're giving, do not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. We're not giving so that we can stand in the temple or in the public congregation and say, Lord, look at me. But we're giving because we're looking at God. Our giving is an act of worship. Due to our freedom now found in Christ, you may give the Lord 5% or even 3%, as you may not have the means to give more. The Lord understands that. He's just asking you to give your offerings as an act of worship of the God, to God through our giving. And he wants us to be generous. Our goal is to reach 10%. And then, when you are able to and the Lord is leading, you may surpass giving 10%. Because the Lord is not going to look askance at you if you're able to give 20% and double. So that it doesn't become just a living by the letter of the law, by the spirit of the law. We have to continually ask ourselves, that have we been radical in what we give? Have we been generous in what we're giving? And are we recognizing and realizing that it's a sign of the kingdom that is coming, the provision for God and his purposes? And I am saying that in church here now, at the beginning of a new fiscal church year, because we are a congregation that is small and has lost some major parts of members that have gone and been very generous to us over time. And it will be a struggle. So we set up a budget, we set up a goal, and we trust the Lord for it, and we may not be able to meet it. Part of our shortcoming of this year, past year, is that we had a typhoon. It knocked us out of worship. And one month in May, we got half of the giving and offerings that we would normally get just because of the way it worked and the way we're trying to get together and worship again in the heat, so sticky it was here in June. We really didn't get back to normal levels of giving for a few number of weeks. And that has an impact on your total giving for the year. But the Lord understands that. And he is asking us to remember and do one thing only, to remember to be generous to the Lord. To remember that our tithes and offerings are important to him. And that God and the church and a pastor thanks you for your generosity. And no matter what you're doing, whether you're playing music, cleaning the church, doing refreshments, fixing church plumbing, all of that counts. It's giving to the Lord. And part of that is giving even could be part of your 10%. I mean, God wants you to give time, maybe place yourself where the provision is not as great, because God will honor that. He will honor whatever you are doing, whatever sacrifices you make, putting him first, and just asking that the Lord lead you and guide you and strengthen you. And I'm just saying that for all these gifts that are given, whether they are physical gifts, whether they are financial gifts, they are all pleasing to the Lord. And we praise the Lord for them. Amen. Dear God, we thank you that we can continue to give this to you. We thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law and went far beyond it. But we thank you, Lord, that you did not count it loss but gain to grant your only begotten Son to finish and complete the promise you made to bring about the redemption of your people. Thank you, Lord, that only upon you could fall this burden. And we thank you, Lord, for every good thing that we have in our lives. Lord, we know that we've been stressed and strained by Typhoon Maywar, the church, all of our households, our lives, and many people lost in the impact of the storm. And we know these things happen, Lord. We know that there are strains and stresses upon us, and we pray that you may continue to help us to manage them and to be wise and good stewards, but above all, Lord, to give generously and give well. Thank you that we can do this in this congregation where we are lifting up our praises and prayers to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.